We are continuing our series in the book of James. We were going line by line, verse by verse, through the book of James. And it has been revealing, I believe. It has been, I've learned a plenty. Just to kind of a review of chapter 1, we learned that those that grow up in Christ, those that mature in Christ, that they should have patience in troubles. When you have trials and troubles, you should be growing in patience. I should be surrounded by patient people. Chapter 2, a mature or one who grows up in Christ practices the truth, and this is the truth. How can you practice a book if you don't read the book? We got to read the book, and then we need to put it into practice. And here we are in the lovely chapter of chapter 3, and a mature Christian has the power over the tongue. Not because we can have power on our own, but because the Holy Spirit, God, can help us to have the power over the tongue. The last few weeks, each week, I've been saying, this week is going to be a little bit different, and it's happening again today. I do have some notes. As you can see, the notes are a little bit different. Paula has those in the back. If you don't have one, you're welcome to grab one from her. Each week in this series, we've got some notes, kind of fill-in-the-blank type of things. Today, there's some big blanks that you will be filling in. But this week is a little bit different. And the space really is just kind of for your thoughts. But I want to spend most of the time today on a story, a testimony. And why is that? It's application. I think a lot of times we can sit here and with our brains, we can read a concept and kind of have an understanding of God's concept. And we can contrast it to the world and go, yeah, I like God's concept. And then it's the thought of, so how do I apply this? How does it actually work? And I found in my life a lot of time hearing testimony from someone else, just a story, kind of helps you be able to go, okay, so that's how they applied it. How can I apply it? So today we're going to be talking about wisdom from above. And we're going to see this contrast of worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, or as I'm going to probably coin or utilize throughout the message, is the earthly versus the eternal. And so we'll kind of fly through these verses, hit them a little bit. Again, you got some spaces, kind of write some thoughts. I'll be hitting some Greek words that, good luck spelling them. But I want to emphasize just a story at the end. It's kind of a long story, but I think it'll be helpful for you to be able to apply. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to James chapter 3, verse 13. And if you would, let's stand for the reading of the Word, and then we will pray and get into it. So James chapter 3, verse 13, out of the New Living Translation. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we, as James has said this already before, Lord, that we can learn to prove it. Lord, that we can act out our faith. And it's not to boast. It's not to show off. Lord, it's so that others can be encouraged and loved. Because if we prove our faith, that means we're loving other people. And they're allowed to grow. And so today, Lord, I pray that we are able to take this word, the scripture, that your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and our minds, and changes us so that we can mature, that we can grow. Lord, that we can prove that we love you above all. So take this time, Lord, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this message is called, Where to Get Wisdom. And as we look at verse 13 and he says, prove it, we need to figure out this concept. You know, because I think James would challenge a few sayings that we have. Sometimes we would say, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, right? When someone comes to us with a question or a dilemma, well, I've been a Christian a long time. Or, I've read the Bible many times over. That's nice. Prove it. Prove it. Because that's the next step. We can have these sayings that speaks of our maturity. But until we act it out, that's not faith. That's not a relationship with God. We need to prove it. And I think James has been preaching this over and over again each week as we've been going through the book of James. And he's been telling us the word changes us. The word of God changes us. And we should be able to see this change, right? So if we're actually taking this word in, it should change us, and others should be able to see the change in our lives. Can your family, can your friends, can other people here who've known you for a year, 5 years, 10 years, can they see a maturity in your life? They should be able to do it. And I would add to James's thought is that this changing never stops. You never arrive in your relationship with God. You should be constantly proving it, constantly showing it, constantly changing and maturing. Verse 14. If you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. So he's talking about jealousy and selfish ambition. And this jealousy is wanting what others have or not wanting others to have what they have. But I really think sometimes this jealousy in our maturity with Christ is we want more of God, but we don't want to put the work in to accomplish it. Isn't that true? Don't you just want to come on a Sunday morning, you know, be here for, you know, hour and a half and get that download, and now you've changed. It's like an update on your phone, you know. You hit okay, and then after a little bit, it resets. Now you've got everything you need. I want more of God. I just don't want to put in the work. I want someone else to read the Bible and tell me what it says. I want someone else to praise God when I'm in a really difficult spot. We have to, that's a jealousy of something we want, but we've got to put the work in. The Greek word there for jealousy is zelos. It's where we get zealousness. And sometimes zeal is a good thing, but not in the scripture because it's bitter. It's rooted in the wrong thing. And then he says, selfish ambition. Your version might say strife. Do you have strife in your heart, in your mind? The Greek word refers to electioneering or intriguing for office. It's like a politician running for office. That's the selfish ambition. What does a politician do with the commercials or the rallies? They promote themselves. Look at me and all my accomplishments and how I think. Look at me. That is wrong in our maturity. We shouldn't be wanting to promote ourselves. We don't want to display ourselves. We don't want to show the world our worth, because that's what the world wants us to do. That's worldly wisdom, is showing our worth. Here, let me show you how valuable I am. Our ambition, our zeal, should be for Christ and Christ magnified, not ourselves. Verse 15. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom, in case you were wondering. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and, there's that word again, demonic. Earthly, unspiritual, demonic. That's worldly wisdom. Now, earthly is pretty simple. Earthly means earthly. You can write that down if you want. You know, that's a really good one. It's just anything of this earth, not of heavenly. But then he says, earthly wisdom really is unspiritual. Your version may say sensual. The Greek word there is sokikos. Yeah, you don't want to learn how to spell that. Sokikos. It's where we get the word psychology. Earthly wisdom is just brain stuff. That's all it is. Maybe it's also where we get psychotic. Maybe that's what that is. I'm not sure. But the definitions, there's two definitions of sokikos. Having the nature and characteristics of the breath. So things that are alive, things that have been created, okay? They have to operate by this. But I like this one. The principle of animal life, which men have in common with the brutes. What is your wisdom like? It's animal-like. It's brutal. It's just survival instincts. That's all you are operating on when you're operating on worldly wisdom. It's just in your mind. You're like an animal. But then he uses that word again, demonic. Demonic. The Greek word means resembling or proceeding from an evil spirit, demon-like. So what is worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom like? It looks like an evil spirit, or it is an evil spirit. And that's the wisdom we use. It's demonic. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when James was talking about the different types of faith. You either have dead faith, you have demonic faith, or you have a dynamic faith. And I remember when I just said demonic faith, it got quiet. It's usually quiet in here, but demonic? I don't have a demonic faith. I don't use demonic wisdom. Are you sure? Where are you getting your input, your information, your knowledge, your understanding? Where are you getting your wisdom? Because it could be demonic. Verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and an evil of every kind. I love math. I tell you this many times. I look at scripture sometimes as like in a math equation, right? We want a certain outcome. So what must we put in order to get the outcome we want? And if you remember, some of you have tried to block it out, you know, when it came to like algebra and stuff, anything on the left side of equals and it equals the right side, you can take those things, you can flip-flop it. So here's an equation, if you would. Worldly wisdom, as James is saying, equals disorder. If you have worldly wisdom, then you have disorder. You can flip-flop that equation. Do you have disorder in your life? Do you have like issues that keep on popping up? Well, I wonder where that came from. It comes from worldly wisdom. Is there chaos in your life? Is there disorder in your life? Then there must be some form of earthly wisdom. No, Pastor, that can't be. I must be simply being tested by the Lord. Maybe. No, Pastor, it can't be that. Satan must be attacking me. Possibly. But more than likely, the disorder, the chaos, the you're feeling is because you have been absorbing worldly wisdom. So we've got a good picture of what worldly wisdom is. What's heavenly wisdom like? Well, James is a pretty good author, and he gives us that picture. And if you have pens or pencils and your Bible open, this is a great portion of scripture. Verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle, some of the time, most of the time, all of the time, and willing to yield to others. Heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and fruit and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So think of the trial you're going through right now and ask yourself, in this trial, this thing I'm going through, does it feel chaotic or full of peace? Do I feel all sorts of evil or is there purity? Am I zealous and ambitious, or am I gentle? Am I being selfish in this time of trial? Or do I find myself yielding to others, putting others first? Am I demanding answers? Am I demanding this and that? Am I being strong and bold? Or am I full of mercy? This trial that I'm going through, am I self-promoting, or am I showing no favoritism? See, that's the difference. Whatever you're feeling in your trial, it shows where you're getting your wisdom. So let me give you a testimony. Let me give you a little story. Because I tend to think some of you might be like, well, Pastor, give me an example. Show me the difference between worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Or as I like to say, earthly versus the eternal. And why is this application important? And sometimes it's confusing. our application. Because I'm pretty sure most of y'all, most everyone is going through some form of a trial, a decision, a story right now, in one form or another. But I'm pretty certain not most of you are not debating whether to become missionaries in Kenya right now. Okay? That'd be a pretty big one, like a ministry thing. Maybe there's someone here that is considering opening a soup kitchen in Minneapolis, downtown, or something like that. That's probably not likely, okay? It could be. Probably not likely. So what trials are we going through? What are the real things in life that we're going through? Well, some of you are probably deciding upon a job change. That can be a big deal. That's a big decision. How about relocating? That'd be a big decision, a big trial. Do we put our kids in public school or private school, or do we homeschool? That would be a trial. That'd be a debate between mom and dad, making a tough decision that you could feel some turmoil. Many here, maybe it's medical decisions. You've got to make a choice about some medical procedures or medications. Those are sometimes the turmoil, the trials we're going through. Some of you have investment opportunities. Some of you are considering retirement. Some of you have a housing change that you're considering. Do I sell? Do I rent? Do we build? These are things that we can kind of go through and have a little bit of turmoil. Some of you are trying to decide what brand of refrigerator to buy. Some of you, is he Mr. Right? Should we date? Should we get married? These are the decisions that we kind of go through daily, regularly, right? And we need wisdom. So are you using the right wisdom or not? So here's my story. My story revolves around a truck. Oh yes, very deeply spiritual story coming up here. But in fact, it is. It is, as you will see, hopefully at the end. Now, my old truck was falling apart. Now, brands don't matter, so we don't have to get into that. Anyways, my Ford was just falling apart. It was actually rust, okay? It was rusting apart. What scriptures pop in your mind about rust? Where do you put your treasure? In earthly things or heavenly things? Earthly things where moth and rust destroy, okay? So my issue was an earthly thing. And most of you, your issue many times is an earthly thing. But it's still important because we have to deal with these things all the time. So we had a conference a couple months back that my wife and I were going to go down to every year. There's an IMA conference, and this year it was in St. Louis, which is kind of the South. Okay, and why that's important to me is because with my price range, I have to buy an older vehicle. I was driving a 20-year-old truck, well, 19 years, if that's important. And if I'm going to get a vehicle, it's going to be old. It's going to be about 10 years. Well, if there's a 10-year-old vehicle on a lot up here, what's going to be on the vehicle? Rust. Okay, so I'm traveling south. Maybe we'll see if there is a place where I can find a vehicle. And I've been considering this for about the last 2 years, year and a half. I've been shopping. I've been praying. And as I've been thinking about it for about the last year, I had a thought of, well, when I get to the conference, I'm going to ask the host pastor if he's got a car guy. And when I thought about that, I had a peace. I've been shopping online, Facebook, all those different things, right? I've been doing a lot of shopping. I've been looking. I've been test driving. But all along, there's been one thing in my heart is, I got to get to St. Louis, and I need to ask the host pastor, do you got a car guy? I had a peace in my heart. What is that? What did we learn from James thus far? And so we headed south, my wife and I. And I've been looking, well, as we're traveling south, is there any good places where maybe we could look at some other vehicles? And I had found in Springfield, Illinois, there was two big lots, same company, and they had tons of cars and trucks that were my age and price range that I was looking for. And so Emma and I were like, okay, on our way down, we'll spend a few hours there in Springfield. So we go there, and they have all these different vehicles, and we had been looking maybe an SUV, or I'd like to replace my truck, mainly a truck. And so there was three vehicles that we looked at that were like, hey, this could be good. The first one, we get in for the test drive, and we're going down the road, and the air conditioning, because it was really hot, just turned off. The fan turned off of everything. I mean, the lights turned off on the dash, and then it turned on. And then it turned off. And then it turned on. And I'm driving and going, yeah, that's not good, right? So then we go try another one. This one, oh, this is nice. It's comfortable. Air conditioning is working. Radio's working. You know, these are important things. And every time I made a right-hand turn, clunk underneath me. That's not a good thing. So then let's try the third one. Third time's a charm, right? And so I think it was like a Jeep Cherokee or something like that. And the guy had pulled it up, and he gave me the keys, and we go out into it. I put the key into it. Click. Click. Won't even start. So I'm looking at my wife going, should we move on? Maybe there's some signs going on here that this isn't good. And so we headed to the conference, and it was a great conference. And it was hosted by the host church for the conference was Pastor Ben Godard and his wife Michelle. Now, Pastor Ben, I met him about 10 years ago at another conference. I think we were in Louisiana. And at the time, I was the executive pastor at a different church. And twice, I had people at the conference come up to me and go, "You're that missionary to China, aren't you?" I'm like, "No." But twice it was said to me, right? And it was like Tuesday night or something like that. We're in the fellowship time afterwards. I'm getting food, and there's a guy in the line. I'm like, "You're me." And he looks at me and goes, "You're me." He said, "People have been coming up to me going, 'You work for Pastor Thompson, right?'" And he's like, "No, I'm a missionary to China." You can put the picture up. This is my twin. This is Pastor Ben Godard. He and his wife, for many years, were teachers at an orphanage in China. But they were missionaries. You can't be a missionary in China, sort of thing. And so we had met many years ago, and at the conference, you got to meet him a little bit more. And I'm just barely a year older than him. We have so many similarities, it's kind of uncanny. And so, anyways, they were the host pastors. And so the last night, Wednesday night, after the message, we were going to have some fellowship time in the fellowship hall, some food and such. And I just like, okay, I need to ask him. And so, and that was that night right there. I went up to him and I said, "Hey, we're thinking of spending a little bit of time here in St. Louis car shopping. Do you have a car guy?" And instantly he's like, Oh yeah, let me give him a call. And he's pulling out his phone and says, why don't we eat together? You know, grab some food, you and your wife. And I'd love to sit and chat a little bit because I've never really had a conversation with him beyond that thing in Louisiana, just lightly. And so then he calls his car guy right away and he says to me, gives me a little bit of information, gives me the guy's contact information. And he's a Christian guy, which was kind of helpful. Instantly, I'm like, that's why I was waiting to ask this guy about his car guy. So we sat down and chatted. So me and my wife and then Pastor Ben and Michelle and then John and Cassie were there. They took the trip as well to St. Louis. And so the six of us are sitting around that table. And I don't know about you guys, but I love that time. It was just a great time. It's the first time we got to meet Ben and Michelle. And there was times as people were laughing and sharing stories, I was just leaning back going, these are my kind of people. I wish I lived closer to them because these would be good friends, good people to work with in the ministry. Which I had, what did I have in my heart? Peace, right? There was a peace. And so the next day, there was a golf tournament John and I played in. We did horrible, did we not? You know, but it was a good time. And as we were golfing is when the car guy had called me. And afterwards, I gave him a call. And I don't know about you guys, car guys. I don't know what your list is. There's politicians, there's lawyers, and then there's car salesmen, right? Is that about the accurate, like, list? So what are you expecting when you're calling a car guy? And I'm like, I'm on the phone, and I just had this is pretty good. I mean, the things he said, how he said it, it was, maybe he was really good. I don't know. But there was just a good peace in my heart. And as I chatted with him, I told him kind of my price range and stuff. And he said, "Well, I don't have exactly what you're looking for, but I'm buying trucks all the time. And I go to Michigan all the time. And so if we find one that we agree upon, I could bring it up to Madison, and you could meet me there, and then we could exchange it. So that was the plan. But in the meantime, he had said, well, I got two vehicles that are kind of close to what you're looking for. They're a little more expensive, and he knew that. But right away, he had shaved off the cost, which was kind of nice. But still, they were going to be more expensive than what I was looking for. And he said, so I've got this Tacoma and I got this Ram. And when he said Tacoma, I was a little excited because I used to have a mid-sized truck and I was looking forward to that. I was almost, when he said Tacoma, I was like, oh, okay, is God speaking? And so the next day, Friday, Emily and I go to the dealership and, he was out of town. He was in a different place looking for some other vehicles. And so his sales guy comes there and we were going to try the Tacoma first. And so he goes in to get the keys, and I walk by the Ram for the first time, and I notice it's a diesel. I didn't realize it was a diesel. And with 100,000 miles on a diesel truck, you've got a vehicle that's going to last a long time. It intrigued me, but it wasn't really what I was looking for, and again, more expensive. So he gives me the keys to the Tacoma, and we get in, and instantly I'm like, maybe I don't like mid-sized trucks anymore. I mean, I've just been used to full-sized trucks. And we drove it, and it was nice, but both of us were just like, doesn't feel right. And so then we get into the Ram, and as soon as we get in, I'm looking at Emily, and she's smiling. She's like, this is kind of nice. And we test drove it, and the problem was there was an engine noise. There was a whine in the front. I didn't know. I'm not a mechanic. You know, I've got a little understanding. But it concerned me, but everything we had about it, we liked. We enjoyed the test drive. And I remember we parked and we started talking, right, about this vehicle. And, you know, it's more than we want. Diesel, maybe higher maintenance. And I think Em said it first. She's like, she didn't say this, but what she said is, we need some wisdom. Now, I'd been interacting with John. John's a bit of a mechanic as well, getting some insight into vehicles. So that was one. And then I got on the phone and I called Tad. Now, Tad's a mechanic and he drives Rams. And so I was asking him and he was giving some wisdom, right? And it was kind of giving us some insight into it. And then we were done with that and Em's like, we need to call Scott. Now, Scott was my mechanic back in Wapaka. Had him for 11 years. He was a deacon in the church and he was also a Ram guy. And I called him, and he's just giving me the rundown of, you know, these are the things you need to take care of, the pros and cons sort of thing. But I said to him, honestly, this is a spiritual story, if I'm losing you in the car stuff. It's not a diesel truck. It's an eco-diesel. So it's a smaller one that's supposed to be more efficiency. It's a 3-liter. Most of you in your little, you know, your mid-sized cars or your small SUVs, you probably have a bigger engine than this truck. Right? It's 3-liter eco-diesel, 6-cylinder. And I said, but Scott, it's a 3-liter. And he goes, yeah, it's what I drive. And as soon as he said that, Em and I went, I mean, our car guy who hauls all sorts of stuff, he drives this type of vehicle. There was a peace. So we're getting closer to the finish line. Okay, this is working, but we still need some more wisdom. We still need some more information. And I'm thinking, okay, insurance. I'm driving a 20-year-old truck. It's falling apart. What is this thing going to cost us, insurance? So I'm texting my insurance guy, and he gets back to me, and he says, yeah, if you got rid of the Ford and went with the Ram, it'll cost you $9 a month more insurance. Wow. Yeah, I can hook you up with a good insurance guy. I'm like, okay, that's not a big deal. Is that earthly wisdom? Or is that heavenly wisdom, eternal wisdom? And then the next thing was, okay, this thing is going to cost more than we wanted to spend. Our last number of vehicles, Emily and I have gotten into the position of buying cash. We prefer to buy cash so we don't spend all that extra on financing. But this is going to cost more. And we probably need to do some financing. So I said to her, well, we've driven by some banks. Should we just go in and see what it is? She said, no, call our bank. And so I crunch in the number. How can I patch you through? I go to financing, please. And then, hello, financing. And it was Matt Whitmore on the other end. And it was a moment of, really? That's kind of cool. You know, here's a friendly voice that, you know, If you need a good banker, there's a good banker here. And so, again, but was that earthly or eternal? But it was just a moment of, that's helpful. So things are starting to line up. Things are lining up in the earthly categories. But how about heavenly? So we go out to lunch, we go to Denny's, and we're sitting there, and we're chatting about the conference and the trip home and our kids, and we are talking about the vehicle, because we haven't really decided yet, but both of us were like, yeah, maybe we'll go with this Ram. And as we're sitting and eating, I had this feeling, I had this, maybe you've had it before, a premonition, that as we were going to be eating, my phone was going to ding, and it was going to be Pastor Ben, and he was going to ask, hey, how's the car shopping going? So we're sitting and eating, and all of a sudden, ding, it's a Star Trek sound on my phone, of course. And I look at it, it's Pastor Ben, and it says, hey, did you guys end up finding a vehicle? And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. And I responded, yeah, we're possibly deciding on one, and I hit send. And as I hit send and put my phone down, I had another thought. He's going to say, well, if you're going to be around, why don't we go out to dinner? So Em and I are talking, ding, pick up my phone. Well, if you guys are going to be in town a little bit longer, we'd love to do dinner with you guys. And I showed it to Emily because she's got to decide too. And she's like, yeah, that'd be nice. Let's do that. And so I said, yeah, we'd love to do that. And before I hit send, and I said out loud to Em, I said, watch this. He's going to say, well, if you're around a little bit longer, save the hotel money, and we'd love to put you up in our home. Ding. Well, if you guys happen to be staying overnight, why don't you save the hotel money? And we'd love, we have plenty of room to stay in your house. What is that? What is that? Does that have anything to do with the truck? No, it's just, but there's something going on, right? And it was peaceful. And so, we're mostly decided, and we thought, let's do one more test drive. Just to confirm. Now, Em and I did this once before, back in 2020. We were at a conference in outside of Louisville, and we bought a car from a Christian guy. And I've told the story here. On the way back, it broke down. And we called him, and we had to get a rental, but he called for a truck. We were 5 hours away from him, but he called for a truck that brought it to Chicago to one of his car guys. They fixed it and delivered it to our house, no charge. And that was comforting, but also, I don't want to break down, right? I have this in mind. I got 10 hours to go, and there's this engine noise. What if this thing breaks down? So Em and I are driving the truck, and that's in the back of my mind. I hadn't verbalized it. My phone rings. It's Rick, the car guy. And he says, hey, I just want to let you know, if you do decide on that Ram, I know you got a long trip home, but for whatever reason, if you break down along the way, I'm coming to get you, and I will take care of it. Hang up, and I'm looking at Em, because she knows now what I'm thinking. What was that? What was that? Is that God saying, oh, get this one? I don't know. But he was reading my mail. He was reading my thoughts. And it brought me what? Peace. Peace in my heart. Things are lining up. So then we're like, all right, we'll buy it. But we'll pick it up the next day. They were going to detail it on, Friday. We'll get it on Saturday. So then afterwards, we go over to Ben. Michelle wasn't home yet. You ever had a conversation with someone for like 2 hours, and it felt like 10 minutes? Just a great conversation, the three of us, kind of getting to know him. And then Michelle comes home, and it was a good time. My wife, who's not in here, she's fun country, right? She's just adventurous and just wants to have fun. Multiply that by 10, that's Michelle, And so as soon as she comes in and there's conversation, I'm like, oh, Em's going to like this lady. And as I said, they were missionaries in China. And so they said, we're going to take you into St. Louis downtown, and there's an authentic Chinese place. Do you guys like Chinese? Absolutely. And so we go there, and we actually walked the streets before because we were waiting in line. The place was packed. We tried those teas. What is that tea with the beads? Boba? We tried boba tea, it was kind of cool. And then we sit down, we're at this little table. Behind this big glass is a guy who's making noodles. They make it in front of you and they keep stretching it and whatnot. I mean, it was authentic. And they ordered in Mandarin. We just said, you guys order. Doesn't matter. You guys order. And they bring out bowls of rice, and then they bring out these different dishes, and they explain all these things to us. And they had asked if we like things spicy. I said, I do not. Emily does. So they got one spicy dish. Forget what it was. It was like this chicken and had some other stuff in it. And I remember trying it. I'm like, this isn't too bad. I was enjoying it. It was this other stuff that I'm like, I should probably eat that too. And the other stuff was like the seeds. Oh, yeah, I found the heat. But again, it was an incredible time just sitting there and conversing. And we went to Depp's. Something, because he's been a senior pastor. He took over for another pastor a couple years ago. So he's new to it. I've been new to it. We've been sharing our stories, you know, and we're able to impart wisdom. But it was a great time. So the next day we get up, we go to the dealership to get the truck. And we're going to be taking it home. And we had one dilemma. We rented a car from Enterprise to go down to the conference because I wasn't going to drive my truck down there. And because of the previous time I used an Enterprise, thank you, Tyler, when we went down to Texas, it was smelled like smoke. And they said, oh, we'll take care of you for your next rental. Well, they gave me a free upgrade on this one. So he paid the price, and I got to enjoy. Instead of a sedan, they gave us a premium car. The premium was a BMW 740. It's a $100,000 vehicle. So, yeah, we were roughing it on the way down to St. Louis. And so I wanted to leave it there in St. Louis to drive home so Em and I could drive together because we like to ride together. And the dealer, the Enterprise said, yeah, you can do that. But since you're not leaving at the same place, it's a $500 charge. Okay, we'll drive two vehicles. Not that it was difficult because I got my new truck. And Emily's driving her nice BMW. And so we head home. We stopped along the way. I think we were in Dubuque or somewhere around there. And I don't know about you, but when you're finally coming home from a vacation and you get closer to home, you start getting home, right? You start thinking about work tomorrow. You start thinking about, you know, the kids and schedules and stuff like that, right? And I'm about an hour outside of Eau Claire. And I'm starting to do that. I'm starting to think about home. And I remember I had the radio going. And as I started to think, doubt started to set in. Because now I'm going to be home with this vehicle. And there's going to be conversations and reactions to this vehicle. And the first thing was this cost. I now have a car payment. I really don't like car payments. And I had this doubt of, was that the right decision? And then I was thinking about the engine noise that was still there, this whine, that I'm like, what is this? Is this a $500 repair? Or is it $4,000? And as I started thinking of that, I started thinking about the wisdom, the mechanics I talked to. I'm going to get home, and they're going to say, so did you end up getting that Ram? And I'm going to say, yeah, I did. And they're going to go, well, where is it? Well, it's in the shop, because this thing is blown. And what are they going to do? They're going to look at me and go, that's what you get. Doubt was setting into my mind. Those were the thoughts. Have you ever had those? The doubt was in my mind. And I remember turning off the radio, because all of a sudden I was just like, and God spoke. Now, as a side note, how does God speak? You should be in the class on Thursday nights, communion with God, how to hear God's voice. It wasn't like an angel sat in the seat next to me and had a conversation. It wasn't like the radio turned on and God spoke through the radio. I didn't hear an audible voice. God speaks to me in different ways. Everyone is usually a little bit different, but it's usually a flow of thoughts that are thoughts that I can't come up with. When he speaks, it's very clear that I know that it's from him. And so I had a flow of thoughts as I was sitting there. And I sensed God say, Jason, how are you? And I started finally reflecting. I'm like, I'm agitated. What does James call it? Disorder. Chaos. That's what I was feeling, right? I've been feeling great. But all of a sudden, what is this? And so I said out loud, because I'd do that either in my office, you know, if or when I'm driving, I have conversations with God. I speak out loud. I said, God, why am I feeling this way? And this is what he said, a flow of thoughts. Jason, because you care more about what others think than what I think. Tell me, is that God or is that my thought? That is God. You care more about what others, because that's exactly what I was doing. What was I doing? I was doing James. I was selfish. I was self-promoting. And I was thinking about myself in front of other people. You care more about what others think than what I think. I was thinking worldly thoughts, selfish thoughts. So I'm like, okay, so what does God think? I said, God, what do you think about my truck or this truck? And I love a lot of times my conversations with God. When I ask him a question, he asks me a question in return. And God said, is your truck an earthly thing or an eternal thing? Those were the words, earthly, eternal. I thought about it, moth and rust. It's an earthly thing. And God said, and this could be controversial to you. This, I'm not pulling out a scripture, but God spoke to my heart and he said, I don't care about earthly things. I care about eternal things. Who doesn't care about my truck? Diesel. So I started thinking, and I asked God, okay, so what is the eternal thing? And as soon as I said that out loud, it's like the projector screen in my mind went on. I had a flood of memories of my weekend and the time conversations with the Godards, the friendship that was built, a long-lasting friendship. The fellowship was there, the encouraging of one another. All of a sudden, I was surrounded with that peace of, it was a great weekend. Why did that take place? Because I bought an earthly truck. God doesn't care about my truck. He cares about the eternal things around my earthly things. So let's wrap this up. Church, you need to distinguish between earthly things and heavenly, or earthly things and eternal things. Make a list. Flip your paper over on the back. And the things that you're going through right now, list out, is this an earthly thing or is this an eternal thing? And like I said, most of us are going through earthly things and that's all we're focused on. But are there some eternal things going on? Start thinking about your sources of wisdom. Are they earthly sources or are they eternal sources? And this could be controversial. I'm all for gathering earthly wisdom. Hear me out. Call your mechanic. That's fine. Call your doctor. That's good. Call your financial advisor. Call your school guidance counselor. You can gather earthly wisdom. But once you've compiled that, you place it before God on the altar, and you pray about the eternal things surrounding it. Pray about the eternal surrounding the earthly. And we see that in Scripture. The difference between earthly and eternal. The disciples, they're recognizing the people are hungry. Jesus, we need to send them away. They need food. Is that an earthly or eternal thing? That's earthly. They're hungry. And Jesus says, good observation. I'm glad you're recognizing your good shepherds. They are hungry. But your conclusion was earthly. You gathered earthly information. You even gathered earthly food. But the answer is eternal, not the earthly thing. Abraham was told by God, you were going to be the father of a great nation. Wow, great information. Now, earthly speaking, that means I have to have a kid. Earthly speaking, my wife is old. And God says, that's great earthly information. But I have an eternal solution to it. Listen to the eternal. Elijah does this great thing with the prophets of Baal, destroys them, makes them a fool, and Jezebel, the evil queen, is bound and determined to kill him. So he runs away, he flees. Why? Because earthly speaking, she's going to kill me. and I don't like that. And I'm all alone. And he talks to God and says, that's a decent earthly conclusion, but I have an eternal solution to your earthly problem. You can gather earthly information, but you seek God, not about the thing, the earthly thing, but God, what eternal thing do you want to do surrounding this? The final thought is, you are seeing your issue, your trial, from your perspective. And when you see your issue from your perspective, you all know the feeling. It's chaos, it's disorder, you're not sleeping at night. You know what earthly wisdom does to your mind. You cannot rest. It is time to grow up and recognize your issues from God's perspective. Because when you see it from His perspective, there is peace. The storm can still be rocking around. The disciples are in the boat. We're going to die. And what's Jesus doing? Taking a little nap. You can be in the middle of your issue, your trial, and feel peace because you are getting your source of wisdom from the throne of heaven, not from your mind. You know the difference between earthly and eternal. It's now time to apply it. It's now time to use it. Parents, it's now time to teach your kids how to make decisions eternally, not earthly. This is a mature, growing up in Christ, Christian, one who recognizes our issues from His perspective, not ours. Let's pray. Lord, I believe it's also okay to thank you for earthly things. Thank you for my truck. Lord, there are so many earthly things that we can be grateful for. But I am not driving that ram into heaven because it's earthly. I thank you for it. But Lord, I thank you most of all for the relationships that you allowed me and my wife to build. Thank you for the friendships. Lord, I thank you for giving me a testimony, a story of the unique little things that you did along the way, phone calls and text messages, that where did that come from? Lord, I want more of that in my life. Lord, I want to recognize your perspective of my issues. Because more than likely in my issues, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I am looking at an earthly thing. But I can't take it with me. But there are so many eternal things that's where I want to put my treasure. Things of above, not below. So I thank you, God. I thank you for realigning my focus. I thank you that in that moment when I felt outside of Eau Claire, or that you spoke to my heart just the right words. You cut deep. Because I was thinking selfishly, and that was causing the disorder. And Lord, I know I have brothers and sisters here right now that are in chaos and in disorder. And the equation says they've got worldly wisdom. But Lord, I pray you blow up that equation and allow us to see it. Allow my brothers and sisters to see the eternal things that are going on. And more than likely, Lord, it's a moment as I had that I had to recognize I was selfish. I cared about man, not God. And I repented. I repented in my heart. I recognized it was a sin. And Lord, a lot of times that's how we flip from earthly to eternal, is we recognize it's us. It's not the devil. It's not a trial by God. It is us. We got ourselves into this mess. And you're the only one that can pull us out if we simply humble ourselves and repent. Lord, I pray for eternal victories this week. We rejoice in Rick's health. And Lord, yeah, it's a little earthly, a little eternal. But now that he's talking, Lord, I know he is planting eternal seeds into every doctor and into every nurse. And to that I give glory, because he knows earthly and eternal. And I pray, Lord, that we all have that testimony this week and the weeks to come, that we sow eternal seeds and we reap righteousness, as the book of James chapter 3 tells us. So thank you, Lord, for the trials. We want to persevere and grow in our endurance and our patience, all while focusing on your eternal things in our lives. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.